In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. As you know that the Feast of the Apostles is this coming Wednesday, and we've been fasting for almost a month for this fast, which is called the Fast of the Apostles. And I know that this fast is actually one of the least practiced and obeyed by us, the Copts. And I really believe the reason why this is the case is not like slacking in the fasting as much as not understanding the reason behind it. We understand the reason behind many other fasts. This one is not really understood because I think it's not very clear the goal and the purpose of that. And I think the reading that we just read from the Gospels right now is preparing us for that feast, is the Great Commission, which our Lord sent 70 of the apostles to go all over the area and preach the Word of God. The reason why we celebrate the fast and the Feast of the Apostles, it's the time of the mission of evangelism. We do that in order, we fast this fast, in order to spread the Word of God all over the world, in order to remind ourselves that it's our duty in order to pray for these people around us. It's our duty, it's our mission that we are sent to the world in order to give God to people around us. And I just want to remind you with the five purposes of our lives for us on earth. As you know, we discussed that before, that Jesus said great commandments, which is, as you know, to love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. So these are the two greatest commandments. And Jesus said that, love God and love your neighbor. And the great commission he gave after that, when he said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And in this great commission, there are three things. Make disciples, baptize them, teaching them. And that brings us to the five purposes that we learned before. Number one, love the Lord your God, which is worship. We know that very well. We're good at this. The second one is to love your neighbor as yourself, which is ministry. And the third one is to go and make disciples, which is what we are lacking, which is what we're talking about, which is evangelism, mission, tell people, bring people, disciple people. And the fourth one, baptizing them into one body of Christ, the fellowship, being united in one body, the body of Christ, and teaching them to observe everything, which is the discipleship, which is what we do here in the church. So evangelism is not an option. It's a commandment when Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's a commandment. When Jesus saw the disciples, he told them in the end, peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. This message is for me and you. As the Father has sent me, I send you. So Jesus is sending me and you to the world. The same reason Jesus came to the earth, in order to give salvation, to give the good news, evangelism. You know the word evangelism, coming from evangelion, which is, means the gospel or the good news. So the same way Jesus was sent to the world in order to give the good news of the Father, we are sent to the world in order to give this good news. Just the fact that we fast an entire fast and feast for this cause, for evangelism, for mission, for spreading the Word of God, that means that our church is really an evangelistic church. But maybe we're not on the same page as the church wanted us. For a lot of time, we were shut. Our mouth was shut from spreading the word of God. And a lot of fear, and sorry to say that, maybe cowardness even, got into our hearts. So we're not used to talk about God. That wasn't the case in the early church. The early church, when they persecuted them and they scattered, everywhere they went, they spread the word of God. That's what's in the book of Acts. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. These were new Christians. These were a couple of months old Christians. They were not Christians for 20 or 30 years. These were new in the faith. But everywhere they went, they spread the word. Just the fact that the Coptic Church has the most number of martyrs than any other church in the world. Martyrs means witnesses. People died in order to witness to the Lord, witness to the faith. Tell people that this Lord Jesus, we love Him and we are willing to die for Him. That means really the church is an evangelistic church originally. You know the reason why we celebrate the liturgy here? Why do we celebrate the liturgy? In order to feel good? In order to connect with God? Yes, we do that. That's part of our worship. But more than this, the reason why the Word of God is preached in the church, the reason of our assembly here together, is to be equipped with everything that everyone would go out and spread the Word. Not keep it for ourselves. What do we do with it? What do we do with the Word of God when we hear it? You know, when you keep the Word of God within you without sharing it, it dies. I'm telling you, it dies. But when you share that, it multiplies and the fruit multiplies. A lot of times we get these great gifts and wonderful treasures, but we keep saving them, until we are obese spiritually. And other people outside, they are very hungry and starved. But we maybe not ready or willing to share. That's why we want to say a couple of hints regarding the whole issue of evangelism and mission. Because I know it's a big topic and it's a stressful one for some people. So I want to give you the first key for evangelism, which is the reason why we do evangelism. It's basically care for people, believers and non-believers. Because God created every creature, every human being is created on earth. God loves him or her. And that's why they are here. That's why they are existing. And God wants them. That's why he created them. And the reason why we are sent to spread the word of God and to bring people close to God, because God loves every and each one of his children and he wants them. And we are in a mission the same way Jesus was sent to the world in order to bring these people closer. That's why we believed. That's why God strengthened us. That's why God gave us his words, not to be selfish about it and keep it for ourselves, but to share it. If we do share money and materialistic things, wouldn't we share the word of God and the spiritual things? Definitely we would. And that's what God wants us to do. But you have to know the reason why we do that. It's basically care. And because it's care, it doesn't start. Mission doesn't mean preaching. For a lot of people, the mission, evangelism, is being bold, is being someone who's like full of the fire of the Spirit and want to spread that. It's basically care. If you love God, you love his children. And you want to bring his children closer to Him. When you love a friend, you love His children. And when you offer something to His children, it's like you're offering Him the best gift ever. Evangelism is about relationship. It's about building relationships with believers and non-believers. A lot of people think that a spirituality, a Christian person, should be in a church 7 days a week. That's nonsense. That is not true. Christians should be here once or twice, be filled, being equipped, and sent to the world. Christians' place is in the world. We said that. Some people asked, why you want the Little Flock Christian School, the school of the church, be only up to 8th grade? Why not going up to high school? He said, because we don't want to keep our children here forever and just shelter them from the world. We want to equip them. We want to build them. And then I would love to send my kids in high school to the public schools in order to tell everyone about Christ. I don't want to shelter them. That's not true. You think that we want to shelter them. No, that's not true. And sometimes we do this mistake and we shelter ourselves, we shelter our people. That's not what God wants. God wants us to be outside with the world, not part of the world, not being like the world, but spread the word that we get here to outside. Caring and building the relationship for every and each soul that comes our way. Evangelism is not going preaching in a church or in the street or stopping people and telling people about Christ. That's not what it is. But it's really building relationship. God, when He wanted to reach out to us, He reached out to us through love, through serving us, through taking care of us, through healing people, through solving people's problems, through being there for them, caring for them. That's the same way. Every and each soul that God puts our way. And the reason why I say every and each, because maybe God wants you to reach out to the cleaning crew in your house or in your office or even the colleagues, even the random people that God put in your way. God will never put anyone in your way randomly or for no reason. And all what you need to do is just to build relationship with these people. I'm not saying now, I didn't mention preaching them, giving them any sermons. I never said that. I said just build a relationship. That is the core. That's where things start. It's not a difficult thing. It's not a hard thing. And then maybe seizing the opportunity one day, God will open a topic. I'll give you a couple of examples. And every and each one of them, God put people in my way. I'm not going to tell you something that, you know, what I'm saying now is not preaching. And I can tell you a story and everyone. It's like you're in a cab with a cab driver. Maybe God put you there. Who would think to build a relationship with a cab driver? But you never know. For many times, God put me in a place where I tell someone, so how are you doing? Not the same, how are you and how's the weather and all of this. So how are you doing? Then He starts, people want to talk, especially if there is something in their hearts. And then they open up. And then they talk about their lives and their problems. And guess what? Same problems that happened to people happened to us before. How did I solve it before? Solve it through prayers, through relationship with God. And very quickly, in 2 minutes, I tell the guy, you know what? I've been in the same situation before, and guess what helped? What helped is my relationship with God. I'm not telling you that because I'm a priest. I'm telling you. This is something that I tried before. It worked for me. Maybe it worked for you. When is the last time you went to church? Honestly, I'm not preaching you. This is, you know, what I do. What I did recently, a couple of times. Broken car on the curb. Stop. You need any help? Yes. The other day, less than 2 weeks ago. And then someone, yes, I need help. So I went out trying to help her. She said, push the car. Trying to push. The car is already on the curb. And we were pushing the car just downhill or something. I said, what are you doing? She said, just getting away from the street. I said, are you drunk? She said, yes, I am. I said, okay, the car is fine. Just leave the car now. What do you want me to do for you? She said, can you give me a ride to the hotel? It's like 2 miles away. I said, yes. Then I said, you know, God loves you, because I was late today for the church, and because God loves you, I came here. It was like after midnight, and nobody would have stopped for you. I said, no, God doesn't love me. I said, why? He said, because this and that, and I don't think so. And, you know, God wouldn't put a priest in front of you just to tell you nonsense. Just, I think he wants to tell you that I love you. She said, maybe. She's drunk anyway, so. Then I said, okay, the car is just next to church. And I wrote down the name of the church and everything. And I said, you know, if you need any help, I'm going to give her a mechanic's number and everything to take care of her car. I'm sure this lady would stand before God one day and tell him, you don't love me. And he would look at her in the eye and tell her, really? Remember that when I helped you before, when you were drunk and bad? Just these little things. God put in my way many contractors to fix things in the house or inside or outside. And guess what? Everybody has problems at home. Everybody's fighting with his wife. You know, normal. All the contractors. Then we open up. Then we talk. Then this worked with me. Maybe it's going to work with you. Same things. Oh, maybe I need to start going to church or going this or that or give him a book or something like this. Something simple like this. For no one to say that God doesn't love me. God doesn't, you know, he doesn't reach out to me. Usually people in difficult situation, people going through hard time or transitions, they're very vulnerable. They're ready. They want to hear one word of God. Statistics say that there are 43 million persons in America. They are ready to go to church if just someone invite them. And as I'm telling you, it's very easy. Our job is not to transform people and to baptize them. No, tell them that God loves you and he wants you. Open the invitation for them. And it's really easy. This is what worked with me. When I feel bad or down or sad or stressed out, I go to church. That's what I tell them. I share with them. What God wants me to do is to give, God wants to give rest to people in him. So that's what I want to tell them, the good news. Really, God wants to give you rest. As simple as this. God loves you and wants what's good for you, but you need to get closer. That's what St. Peter said. He said, always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you, a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. Be ready to tell anyone. That's what we need, to be ready. Everyone that God puts in your way, maybe God is sending this person to you to build a relationship for this person, to really care about this person. And believe me, when you do that for a taxi cab or for a contractor, they will do a good job for you. Believe me, and they will give you a discount in the end, you know, when they feel that you really care for them. And you really care for them, even though sometimes they spend hours and waste and, you know, delay the project. But still, it's okay. But they're going to do a good job in the end. You're going to be happy in the end. Loving people the same way God loved me and you and brought me and you to him and to his church. If God really impacted my life and your life, then we have to share that to people. God helped me. God saved me. God did great things in my life, and I just want to share that. Second key of evangelism. Sometimes we think that in order to do some missionary evangelism, we have to be weird or to have to be outspoken. Well, I'm introvert. You're asking me to, you know, to say and preach. That's not what God wants you and me to do. God wants you and me to be used in different ways. And I'm telling you, God doesn't want you to save 3,000 people in one sermon like Peter, because it's not your personality and it's not my personality. But maybe God wants you to be like Andrew, his brother. You know that Andrew, the brother of Peter, he came to Christ first. And what was the first person he brought to Christ? Peter, his brother. If Andrew didn't bring anyone to the Lord other than his brother Peter, did he do a good job or not? Did he do a great thing or not? He brought a huge fish. You know, he didn't bring a lot of fish to the Lord, but he brought one big fat, a whale or something to the Lord that brought a lot of people. So maybe not a lot of people as you think, but maybe one person. If you read the book that Abuna suggested last week, The Heavenly Man, you would know that his mentor, another Chinese person, is called Zhu. This person was in jail most of his life. Didn't do much evangelism. But he brought one person. One person. Just Brother Yan, who wrote the book. But this person made a revolution in China. He brought just one soul to Christ. That was good enough. When he stands in front of the Lord will tell him, you know what? I'm proud of you. Even if you didn't do anything else, you did well. God is going to use our differences. God is going to use his body, the whole body of Christ. Everyone does something, as the Bible says. If the whole body were an eye, where should be the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as he pleased. Everybody has a role. Just be yourself. Just use your talents that God has given you. Maybe caring people in your profession. I don't know what's your profession, what you do. But caring for people in that way, it will bring people close. And you will know that this is something that you can help people with. And that's how you bring people close. There are some obstacles to evangelism. And the very first one is the fear of or embarrassment. Well, we're not used to that. We're not used to talk about God to anyone. I understand that. Isn't it strange, though, that people talk freely and openly and shamelessly about sex and other things to each other, and when it comes to God, then they're embarrassed? Isn't that strange? The other day, I was telling someone to pray with her husband. And I said, you know what? I'm very embarrassed to just pray with him and just pray out loud in front of him. And then I looked at her. And she said, but you know what? I'm not embarrassed to stand next to him and watch a bad movie. I said, that's shameful. She said, yes, I agree. I have to get over this fear and embarrassment that does not exist. I pray that we really pray God to take away the embarrassment and the fear out of our heart. Because it's not true. It's not real. It doesn't make any sense. We pray that it's not from the devil that is stopping us, that's shutting our mouth from speaking the truth. The other thing is the guilt. I don't want you to go out of here feeling guilty because you didn't bring anyone to Christ. The fruit is not yours. You have to do what God wants you to do. You have to use every opportunity. You have to build a relationship with people. But our job is not to transform people. Our job is to bring people to Christ, and he changed them, and he transformed them. We don't do that. And I don't want you to feel, if you feel guilty, you wouldn't do anything about it. But ask for God's grace and really pray for every and each one in your family, in your surrounding circle, in the people that you see day in and day out. Pray for them. And ask God for an opportunity. And ask for grace. Guilt will never do it. But grace will. A lot of times also we think about methods. You know, what do we do? You know, what are the techniques of telling anyone about Christ? I don't want you to think about methods, but think about the principle. The principle of using every opportunity to bring souls close to Christ. The last thing that I want to tell you, a lot of people will say, well, I don't know much about God and religion and the Bible. I'm telling you, these Christians who believed, they were new Christians. They didn't know much. They didn't know the Bible. There wasn't a Bible back then in the early church. But they knew one thing. Jesus is a Savior. He saved people, forgave them. He forgave me. He wants me. God loves people, wants the relationship with them. God is not to scare people, but to love people and to build a relationship with them. And it's good. It's great. It gives you purpose. This is what I did. Hopefully, this is what you do. Samaritan woman didn't get a PhD in theology before going to Samaria and telling people. Didn't do that. She knew Christ for a couple of minutes. Went there, someone did something personal to me. He's great, maybe he's Christ. She brought in the entire city to him. Personal testimony. This is what happened with me. Maybe it will work with you, maybe not. But maybe it will work with you. This is what I did. I was down, I was depressed, I was jobless, I was this and that. But when I get closer to God, things become different and clearer. And somehow someone turned on the light and, you know, things become much better. When Jesus healed someone, he wanted to follow Jesus' footsteps everywhere. You know what Jesus told him? He told him, return to your own house. Go away and tell what great things God has done for you. Don't tell great things about God, but tell what God did for you and for your life. And he went his way and proclaimed throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. Very simple. Personal experience. What is the witness? Witness is not a lawyer. Witness doesn't know the law. God wants you to be a witness, not a lawyer. A lot of things, we think that God wants us to be lawyers for him and to defend him and to tell people about him and to read the thick books and tell people about it. That's not true. We are witnesses. This is what happened with me, and I'm just letting you know what happened with me. Maybe it might work for you. One thing that I heard it before. Why do I go and tell other people while I still have people at home who are not believers or far away from God? Why do you go to Africa and Mexico and go all the way to other places while you have people here lost in your own church? Why don't you save yours first? Why don't we do both? Why am I going to stay until everything is perfect in life before I go out and tell people? Everyone has his own time. Let me just be faithful on that. Why don't this and that? Why not? You think that when we go out to Africa and Mexico, we just make great things for the people over there? I'm telling you, the people who go to these mission trips, they benefit most. Their life gets changed more than the people they are going to tell. When you tell someone about God, you benefit more. Last thing that I want to tell you. When you put some fish in a container, small container, they grow big. What they're going to do after that? They're going to eat each other. Yeah, they're going to just have nothing to do. they're going to bother each other, go around after each other, bite the tail here, there. I think that's what we do in the church. We grow fat, and then we start to criticize each other, and blame each other, and judge each other. But when you put these fish in the sea, what happened? They breed, have a lot of children, they grow healthier, because that's what God wants. But to put them in a container, it's going to be detrimental for them. When you put them in the sea, in the ocean, go, they breed, they have lots of fruits. It becomes good for them, and they would have a lot of fruits. So that's what we need to do to get out of the box, out of just coming here to church, listen to the word of God, go back, just keep it for ourselves. No, we need to be witnesses to Him. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the world. Here and there, both. Get the word and go out. Guess what? Every time you come to church and God give you a word, God will put someone in your way, same day or same week, whatever, that needs the message that you got. Every time in my quiet time, I meet someone. Guess what? Today in my quiet time, I hear this from God, and I think this is for you. Just sharing what God has given me. You think if you share a message, will you ever forget it? Will you ever forget something that you tell, a story that you tell, or a message that you give? Never forget it. It becomes part of you. You become an owner to it. That's where the Word of God becomes stronger and more in our hearts. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.